MotorStorm Apocalypse is coming to PlayStation 3 on March 17, and on the line to chat about what's inside the fourth game in the MotorStorm series is Simon Barlow, the assistant game director from Evolution Studios, who have been working on the game. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, man.
Now, Simon, just so we can begin to understand the scale of modern video games, how long has MotorStorm Apocalypse been in production?
I started on this initially over 3 years ago now. There was a very, very small team of about, three people. I had to begin with pretty small production. This has been, the game's due out sort of next week now, and it's been 3 years start to finish, so yeah.
Hollywood-sized production then.
Absolutely, yeah, and that's over from, we went from 3 staff up to over 100 at peak, so it was a pretty tall order.
Okay, now don't take this as a negative question, but some people are asking, how is MotorStorm Apocalypse not just another racing game?
Oh, in a lot of ways. It's the culmination, really, of the previous titles in the MotorStorm series, our experience on those games, and really trying to take the racing genre into new areas. We quickly realised early on in the development of this game that the racing genre as a whole was kind of getting a bit tired, really. We identified what we called sort of genre decline, where sales of racing games weren't really picking up; they were actually declining. We knew we needed to do something different. What we needed to do was make a massive disruptive change to the racing landscape. It would have been really easy for us, I think, to just change the location.
Yes.
And roll out another MotorStorm game, and that would have been fine. You know, it would have been probably done a lot quicker and with less people, but it wouldn't have been good enough. And one of the things that we talk about a lot at Evolution Studios is to make big promises and then over-deliver on them. And we've really, really kind of taken that to heart on this project. It was a daunting proposition. It was a really ambitious concept. But to see it now kind of 3 years later and see everything come to fruition, it's totally worth it.
Okay, let's talk about the where the game is set. I mean, as the title suggests, MotorStorm Apocalypse is set in an apocalyptic environment. How does this tie into the game, other than just new scenery, as you say?
Well, the actual location is, it's like an urban. We set it in a city, and although most of the location is kind of urban, we kind of dip out into the waterfront area and parkland and stuff like that, so we kind of get a lot of variety out of that location. But really, the core proposition is that we have in these kind of series of dynamic events, these apocalyptic events that really lift it beyond any racing game out there. And it was really, we took our inspiration not necessarily from racing games, but from elsewhere, from action adventure games like Uncharted or God of War, and even from kind of those big sort of summer blockbuster movies, the real spectacles that kind of people absolutely adore. And we thought to ourselves, well, really, why can't you do that in a racing game? You know, why do you have to restrict that to character-based games, if you like? And so that for us was, it was kind of key to maximizing the location and the environment, but it also meant that we could treat this urban environment much more like the off-road environments from the previous games. The apocalyptic events change the racing landscape as you actually race, like in real time in front of the player.
So we're talking about buildings falling over, the earth opening up, that sort of thing?
Yeah, big, huge twisters, throwing vehicles and boats into your path, all that good stuff. we've also got, there's real life in the city as well. Although the actual city itself has been evacuated ahead of this, what we've got is two factions that have actually taken root within the city. One is the guys that stay behind when the city was evacuated, and these are like your crazies and your gangs and your looters, the guys that would stay behind if a city were evacuated, the ones that want to go into all the rich people's houses and take all their plasma TVs, that sort of thing. And then the other faction is a private military contractor, and they've been hired by the government to come in and kind of protect the city's assets, if you like, and kick out all these crazies. Into the middle of this, MotorStorm rocks up, and they just want, they're bringing their festival on their kind of custom aircraft carrier, sailing into the bay, ready to set up this insane festival of racing and music and partying, and they're caught in the middle of it. So the environment itself it's been affected by the dynamic events that are happening as part of these kind of apocalyptic sort of natural disasters, but it's also the fact that the factions themselves are effectively at war. And they're going to attack each other, and they're going to attack you. And as a result of that, that's also going to affect the environment. So the races themselves are so alive and so dynamic, and there's so much going on that it really will feel like, we just want to take a player on a really epic journey from start to finish.
So you've got a lot more to worry about than just the other races.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's still, you know, I think people that are familiar with the MotorStorm series, as soon as they pick a pad up and start playing, you know, it feels like MotorStorm. Hmm. It's still got the same, you know, although we've changed the handling, we've kind of adapted it to suit the urban environment, and we've added like 5 new vehicle classes into the mix as well. Some things like supercars and muscle cars, things that are much more suitable to that environment. The actual core gameplay, the core DNA of the franchise is still there. You know, it still feels like a MotorStorm game. So all that's really familiar. But everything's just been turned up to 11, really. We had to lift it outside of the genre, the restrictions of this genre. So even though it feels like MotorStorm, even though it plays like MotorStorm, it's just taken to the next level, really.
Now, you've briefly just mentioned it there. Let's talk about some of this new hardware in the game. What's new to drive specifically, and what have you sort of retained from previous games?
Well, all the vehicle classes from previous games are still there. So everything that was in Pacific Rift, you'll still see in this.
Okay.
The additional vehicle classes we've added are, muscle cars, supercars, we've added like hot hatches, like European-style super minis. We've also added super bikes and choppers. And these are much more suitable to this environment, but really they've been given the MotorStorm treatment. So although you've got supercars in the game, they look nothing like your kind of classic supercars. They're not your urban supercars. These have all been kind of jacked up. They've got like additional bull bars and kind of body armor on them. So they've all really been, they feel absolutely right for MotorStorm. And they all, you know, they've given us this, really this unprecedented field of 13 different vehicle types now, which is pretty insane when it comes to track balancing, I can tell you.
Okay. Are you personally a monster truck or a motorbike guy?
What am I? It changes, you know. It changes depending on the track.
Yeah.
I'm having a lot of fun with the superbikes.
Yeah.
I think the one of those vehicle classes that are, I think the better you get at the game, the more familiar you get with the tracks and the environments. Those sorts of vehicles that are super quick but super fragile, you learn to kind of work within their limitations, if you like. You've got to be so careful with them. But if you know where you're going and you're quick to dodge out of the way of any hazards, they're absolutely fantastic fun to race. And you can do stunts on them, which is pretty sweet.
Let's talk a bit about the multiplayer experience. What's new in this area?
The multiplayer for MotorStorm Apocalypse has largely been rewritten from the ground up, to be honest.
Okay.
It was the core racing in Pacific Rift was, we're really proud of that. We felt was really strong. In fact, there's people still playing that today. So we knew that the actual core racing was great. The problem was, I think, that in previous titles, we hadn't really anticipated the major changes that would occur in online gaming from, you know, the likes of Call of Duty and Killzone that would really make the online, almost like a separate game in itself.
Yeah.
So we had to do something with MotorStorm Apocalypse. And the same way that we were being disruptive with the actual core racing experience, we also had to be fairly disruptive with the online experience as well and be just massively ambitious. So we have, like, the kind of things that are more familiar to first-person shooter players. So, like, an experience-based ranking system with rewards and unlocks. Like, all of that good stuff is there.
Okay.
But it's been wrapped in, it feels right for MotorStorm. We have a couple of really cool things that are fairly unique to the online space. One of those is this idea of betting. And we have a currency, and like our experience points in Apocalypse are poker chips.
Right.
And so you earn poker chips as you race, and that helps you rank up and unlock new content. But you can actually bet these poker chips. And it's really, really simple. In any online lobby where betting's supported, you can pick a rival to race against. And each person in the lobbies, you know, we do like a rough form calculation depending on like how well they've been racing. And then we assign like a poker chip value to them. If you pick that rival and then you beat them in the next race, you earn those chips. And they get added to like a bonus pot. And in between each race, you get the option of either cashing those chips in so you can add them to your experience and help rank up a bit quicker. Or you get the option to gamble. And what gambling does is increases a hot streak multiplier, which means that if you bet again, the next race, the chips will be worth more because you'll have like a hot streak multiplier going on. So it becomes this real risk reward thing where you're deciding to yourself, well, who in the lobby can I beat? Who can I realistically pick as my rival? And how much am I willing to bet against that? You know, I've won a couple of bets in a row, so I've got a nice little pot of chips sitting in my bonus pot. Maybe I'm sat on a nice, healthy hot streak multiplier, but I'm thinking to myself, you know, is it the time to cash in now, or do I want to keep betting and keep increasing those chip rewards? So it becomes almost like it's a real meta game. It becomes like this other experience outside of the core racing.
You've literally raised the stakes when it comes to online multiplayer.
Absolutely.
It's not just about what winning, but to what you could lose.
Yeah, totally. And it was the other key thing with that is we wanted to make online a lot more accessible for new players. And the particular thing with racing games online is that, like, unlike a first-person shooter where even if you're not at the top of the leaderboard, you know, you haven't got the most number of kills, you're still taking part, you can still have a load of fun just, you know, sniping from the hill or chucking a grenade down a trench and taking a few guys out, you know. So you may finish bottom of the table, but you've actually had a great time. With racing games, if you're bottom of the pack and you're not fighting it out for the top five positions or whatever, it can be pretty lonely. That's not a huge amount of fun. So we had to do something that made it a lot more accessible for those players. Now, we have a full matchmaking system which does try to eliminate some of those problems and match you with people of similar skill. But, you know, for one reason or another, maybe you're having an off day. You know, you may just be off your game that night. With the betting, you don't have to necessarily come first. You know, you can just pick somebody else that you think you've got a chance of beating. And maybe that's one of your mates, right? Maybe, you know? So it's like it's not necessarily about coming first. It's about you and your mate having this kind of running battle all night long. And maybe you're both coming consistently like 7th and 8th or whatever, but you're still having a great time because you've got this own little unique battle going on.
Okay.
Outside of the racing, so.
That's cool. Now, Simon, another again, on a personal note, what element of the game overall for you has the cool factor?
Do you know what? It's really difficult to boil that down into one thing. Honestly, there is, I mean, there is so much going on in this game. We have poured so much content into it. You know, it's been a real, I'll be honest, it's been a real challenge to develop this over the years because of how ambitious we were being, how much content we wanted to include, and just every area of the game just had to be absolutely, you know, over the top and really over-deliver on all those kind of early promises. And so to pick one thing out is tricky. I really like that we've achieved everything we set out to achieve, or I'm pretty sure we have anyway. You know, I can look back now. You get to the end of the project, you start doing a bit of a retrospective, and I look back at those original pitches that we gave. I look back at the original concept art and the original design documents, and it's so rewarding to know that actually very little has changed since those initial exploratory kind of, you know, things that we did 3 years ago. You know, the game itself has still remained true to that. When we thought early on we were just being super ambitious and maybe we wouldn't get all of the way there, in some cases we've actually exceeded our initial expectations. So, I mean, that's really rewarding to just look back on that and think, wow, you know, we've got a hell of a prospect here.
Awesome. Sounds good. It's MotorStorm Apocalypse is coming to PlayStation 3 on March 17. Simon Barlow from Evolution Studios, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, mate. It's been a pleasure.
And everyone can get more information, of course, at playstation.com.au.